Welcome to the Florida Roundup this week on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, later this month, the Supreme Court is expected to decide a brewing fight over the 2020 census. Now, it has to do with a proposed citizenship question the Trump administration wants to place on the census.
Yeah, if the Supreme Court decides the question can be included, everyone in the country will be asked, is this person a citizen of the United States? It would be the first time since 1950 that every U.S. household is asked a citizen-type question on the survey.
That's right, Tom. It's controversial. 18 states have already sued over the citizenship question. Florida is not one of them. Yet Florida has one of the largest non-citizen populations in the country. Opponents of this question say it will discourage people from participating in the census and lead to inaccurate counts. During a stop in Miami back in April, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said the citizenship answers would be kept secret.
It is absolutely a federal offense for any census employee to reveal any individual's personal data to anyone. They're not permitted to reveal it to law enforcement, not permitted to reveal it to immigration authorities.
However, Ross could also be held in contempt of Congress next week after he missed a deadline to hand over documents related to a congressional committee investigation over the census citizenship question. There is so much to discuss regarding the citizenship question that we're going to devote the full hour here on the Florida Roundup to this matter because this will affect Florida. So here's what we want to ask everybody out there listening. Do you think the census should ask the citizenship question or not? Would you answer the question? And how do you think this will impact the state? We'll get to your calls in just a moment. Get on the line now. Anywhere you are in the state, call 305-995-1800 or tweet the show at Florida Roundup.
Republican Congressman Greg Stube represents parts of the Gulf Coast and Central Florida. He sits on the Government Oversight Committee in the House, which oversees the Census Bureau, and he joins us from his district via FaceTime. Congressman, welcome to Florida Public Radio. Thanks for your time today. Do you support including the citizenship question on all census surveys in 2020?
Yes, I support adding the question. And it's in the, I can't remember the terminology for the random questionnaire that goes to 3 million citizens every single year. Democrats seem to not have a problem with
right. That's not a census question. Right. Sorry, that's not a census question. The census is every 10 years. You're talking about the American Community Survey, which is done by the Census Bureau, which does include a citizen question every year. That's correct.
Correct. Yes.
So why do you think it's necessary to ask it on the once a decade census survey that goes to all U.S. households?
Because I think it's important to know how many citizens we have in our country. One of the whole purposes behind the census is to know how many citizens we have in our country, because the basis for drawing different geographic districts is based on the number of registered voters and citizens that we have that are registered to vote.
Isn't it based on population?
Yeah, it's based on population.
But that's different than citizen and registered voters, though, isn't it?
No, it's based on the amount of citizens that we have in a certain area based on the amount after the reapportionment.
So the Constitution talks about this. This is, of course, the census in the Constitution talks about a count of the United States. But does it, in your estimation, specify a citizen count or just a population count? And why is there a difference in your mind between those two? What's the distinction there for you?
Well, I can tell you this. First of all, this issue, as you stated in the intro, is going to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court maybe any day now.
Yeah.
So this very issue is not going to be decided by politicians in Washington. It's going to be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court because there have been lawsuits on it, and they're going to decide the question. So at the end of the day, we're going to have to follow what the United States Supreme Court decides to do on this. So if the court, based on the Constitution, and I'm not a constitutional lawyer, based on the Constitution, thinks that that's an appropriate question to ask those people that are in our country based on the one every 10-year census, mm-hmm. then they're going to get to make that decision. I support it. I'll tell you from the people in my district, the people that I've talked to in my district, they support it. I haven't heard from anybody in my district that seems to think that it would be obscene or odd to ask if you're a citizen of the United States on the every 10-year census. And if an individual doesn't want to fill out that portion of the census and not answer that question, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Census Bureau is going to come back to them and be like, oh, you missed question number three on the census that you returned. They don't have to answer it mm-hmm. one way or the other. They could just leave it blank.
So a number of former directors of the Census Bureau, as you're well aware, you've heard from them in your position at the Government Oversight Committee, have talked about how this question is unnecessary in the once-a-decade census and could lead to undercounts, which has implications for districting, as you mentioned, and also the apportionment of federal grant dollars.
Well, that's their opinion. I don't agree with that opinion. I don't think that people aren't going to fill out an entire census form just based on one question that they can leave blank if they want to. So I don't agree with that assessment. And at the end of the day, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to have an opportunity to decide sure. this case probably pretty soon.
Yeah, certainly by the end of the month, I think, because July 1st is the deadline that the Census Bureau has given folks to say we need to start printing out materials right. in order to get them in the hands of households during the 2020 census. The boss of the census ultimately is the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross. He originally testified that the question was added because of a request from the Department of Justice. Some documents that were released to your oversight committee wound up showing that he actually was asking for the question and about the question well before the Department of Justice request came through in late 2017. Is it your estimation, the way you understand things, that the secretary was not truthful to your committee originally?
No, I'm not going to make an opinion based on that. The chairman of the committee has subpoenaed a number of documents. They've been they've complied with that to the tune of about 30,000 documents.
Mm-hmm.
The chairman has asked to have a number of different three different individuals come and testify. The Commerce Department has agreed to do that in a closed door session, and that's not what the chairman wants. So, you know, to me, this is a lot of Democratic political posturing. I don't understand why the Democrats wouldn't want to know how many citizens we have in our country.
So your committee, the House Oversight Committee, is likely to vote next week on whether or not to hold the Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and the Attorney General William Barr in contempt for not complying with these subpoenas to turn over documents. How do you plan on voting, Representative?
Which they have, I just told you, they've turned over 30,000 documents.
Right, but now with these most recent subpoenas. They have turned over some, they have turned over documents, but these most recent subpoenas that are the source of the committee chair's vote, which is likely to come next week, about contempt to Congress.
I will not vote to find them in contempt to Congress. I do not support that.
Let me also ask you about some new evidence that was surfaced this week that the administration, the Trump administration, pushed for this question to benefit the Republican Party. There was a Republican strategist who has since passed away, Thomas Hofeller, that some documents were released, evidence was released in this court case that Mr. Hofeller helped write the Department of Justice letter justifying this question. How do you feel about that evidence?
Well, I haven't seen that direct evidence. And again, I don't think that impacts what the United States Supreme Court is going to make on the decision and the constitutionality and the evidence that they're going to have before them. I think they're going to look at it from a constitutional perspective. And it's my hope that they come up with a constitutional answer to this issue and we can all move on. And regardless of what decision they go one way or the other, and the Commerce Secretary can send out the census.
And for non-citizens in your district in Florida, the Florida 17th, what is your message to them if this question will be included on the 2020 census? Should they fill it out? Should they skip it?
My response would be fill out any legal document accurately and honestly. Again, if they don't want to answer the citizenship question, there's nothing that's forcing them to do that.
Right.
And if they leave that blank, it's not like they're going to be found civilly liable or criminally liable for leaving a question blank.
And so
it's not something they feel comfortable answering.
And so your advice would be if you're not comfortable answering it for citizens or non-citizens would be to skip it if it appears on the Census Bureau survey.
My advice is to be honest and appropriate with your responses. If they don't want to fill it out, they don't have to.
Representative Greg Stube, Republican from the Gulf Coast. Representative, appreciate your time today. Thanks for sharing it with us.
All right, thanks.
Well, after the census was taken 10 years ago, Florida picked up two seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Now, 10 years later, we are living in the third most populous state, and Florida is expected to pick up maybe a couple of more seats in Congress after this next census. However, if the citizenship question is included on the census, some people might not fill out the form. And that could affect how the census impacts billions of dollars in federal spending, including money for Florida. Here's Anna Cures of the Central Florida Division of the U.S. Census Bureau.
If you only count 100 versus 500, all 500 are going to be impacted and affected by not receiving the federal funding that they need, not only for 1 year, we're talking about for the next decade.
Meanwhile, Senator Rick Scott told Fox News last week he supports the citizenship question, even though it could mean Florida loses out on federal funding.
I understand their issue, would we lose out some federal funding? But the truth is, what we really need to think about is we should allocate the dollars based on citizenship. We should allocate congressmen and women based on citizenship.
Okay, so as we continue the discussion on the Florida Roundup about the census and the citizenship question, we'll go to your calls in a moment at 305-995-1800. Lots of tweets coming into the Florida Roundup, too. We'll get a few of those on the air in a moment. First, though, we welcome Diana Elliott. She's a senior research associate with the Urban Institute. Diana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, new predictions from your organization indicate the citizenship question could undermine the accuracy of the census and even lead to more than 4 million people in this country being undercounted. What does your research show?
Yeah, we included estimates about the citizenship question, along with sort of lower bar estimates of how the census believes they're going to do this next time around. And we found in this high-risk scenario that many groups will be undercounted. And as you said, 4 million people overall in the country could be undercounted, but this hides that there's unfairness behind that. In other words, young children, for example, under the age of 5, 6.3% of them could be missed. Black people, 3.68%, and Hispanic and Latinx people, a little over 3.5%. So this really speaks to how it's not just about accuracy, it's all about fair. It's also about fairness as well.
And so how do you interpret then what you say is the unfairness of an undercount for Latino and African-American people living in this country? How does an undercount affect those populations and affect the states that will receive a little bit less funding or maybe significantly less funding if there's an undercount?
Yeah. Well, as you said, you know, this really speaks to communities, right? So if you think about this in terms of communities, right, if you have certain groups overrepresented in a neighborhood, in a town, in a city, in a community, they could miss out on their funding relative to other communities. And, you know, as the census spokesperson said, this is not just about this year, it's about the next 10 years. That's a really long time to miss out on funding. You know, if you think about a child under the age of 5 who's missed in the census, maybe they're 2 years old, that will affect them and their schools and their communities and the funding they receive until that child is 12. So it's a really long trajectory and it really matters.
What's your response to the newly disclosed documents that were published last week? They were unearthed after the death of a redistricting strategist for the Republican Party. And they seem to show that he felt that including a citizenship question on the 2020 census could positively impact the Republican Party in terms of preserving congressional majorities and in terms of how congressional districts are drawn, and that a citizenship question could in fact provide an advantage to the GOP. This is something that the Trump administration has denied and other supporters of the citizenship question have denied. What's your reaction to those revelations and whether or not you think that could impact the Supreme Court ruling on this that we're expecting at the end of the month?
Yeah, so we're nonpartisan researchers. We really sort of follow the research. I will say that our study shows that regardless of whether the citizenship question is introduced, we're looking at an undercount. And we're looking at an undercount because of persistent underfunding towards the Census Bureau, because the population is increasingly harder to count, because demographics suggest that, you know, we're looking at a more demographically diverse population than we had in 2010. All of these factors factors culminate in a lot of difficulty in terms of counting people and counting them fairly. So even before sort of that discussion about the citizenship question, it's important to keep in mind that the task that the Census Bureau has at hand is harder than it was in 2010, and they received less funding proportionately over the last decade to address those challenges.
So the Census Bureau doesn't have the funding it needs, and then you said there are other challenges to counting everyone, whether they're citizens or not. What are some of the other problems that the census is facing? Can you give me a couple of examples?
Absolutely. And we have more renters than we had in 2010. And that factor alone makes it a more challenging task to find people and count them appropriately. Furthermore, households are a little bit more complex than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago. So you could have, multi-generational households. You could have households where, for example, with young children, sometimes it's unclear, are they a resident of the household? Should they be counted in the census? So there are a lot of factors operating that above and beyond the chill of the citizenship question, which I'll note, Census's own research has shown that if the citizenship question is introduced, it will have a suppression on responses. But that said, we know that the population is increasingly diverse, it's harder to count, and the Census Bureau is being asked to do more with less.
And some states will face more impacts than others, presumably, Diana. Particularly, let's bring it home to Florida.
Yeah.
We are one of the most populous states in the nation with a growing immigrant population and a large number of non-citizens. We are looking at real-world impacts from how this plays out in terms of our representation in Congress and how much federal funding the state receives. Does your study look into the varying impacts on different states?
We do. And we find that Florida is one of those states that could be really adversely affected. It stands out with six or seven other states where the counts are sort of the undercount likelihood is much higher than other states. So to give you some reference points, we're looking at potentially, 1.5% undercount of the total population of Florida. And if you think about that multiplied times dollars, not just in 1 year, but over a decade, that's a lot of lost funding for Florida's communities, infrastructure, schools. So it really matters.
And to make sure we're accurate quickly before we let you go, if someone were to skip the citizenship question on the census, can they be fined? Can they face consequences?
So the citizenship question, as all questions, I think the line that most researchers will say is fill it out as completely and accurately as you can. That said, we do find that there are people who will, again, Census Bureau's own research shows this, who are already showing hesitation about participating in the census. Some people distrust government. Some people are concerned in this heightened political climate around immigration. That said, as the clip from Wilbur Ross described, census employees are sworn to confidentiality. There are extreme penalties for disregarding that. So they take confidentiality of the data very, very seriously. I think the take home here is, yeah, go ahead.
No, quickly, the take home?
Oh, the take home is to really encourage people to participate, right? Because so much is at stake for their communities.
That's Diana Elliott. She's a senior research associate with the Urban Institute. Diana, thank you.
Thank you.
And in a moment, your calls and tweets on the 2020 census here on the Florida Roundup. We'll be right back. This is Florida Public Radio. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami, talking about the upcoming 2020 census and a potential question about citizenship. 305-995-1800 is our statewide phone number, at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Roughly about 1 in 10 people living here in the Sunshine State is a non-citizen, according to the American Community Survey. So what's at stake for people here? Will you answer the question if it appears on your census survey. Hanzi Lawang covers the census as national correspondent for NPR. He joins us from New York City. Hanzi, if you could, describe, frankly, the potential consequences. You just heard Representative Greg Stube from the Gulf Coast and Central Florida essentially advise people that if the citizenship question is on the 2020 census, that they don't necessarily have to answer the question. What are the consequences if you refuse, if you skip a question on the census?
Federal law requires every person, when presented with census questions, to answer them completely and truthfully. If you don't do that, you could be subject to fines, although historically, those fines have been rarely enforced in the past. There have been very few cases of people being prosecuted for not answering questions, but they are very, very few and very, very rare and has not happened recently. More likely scenario is that if you were to return an incomplete census form, skip a question, one question, a few questions, what you're likely you may get is a visit from a Census Bureau worker or a phone call or additional mailings from the Census Bureau reminding you or asking you to complete that answer and to provide additional information because the Census Bureau is trying to get as much information as possible in order to complete this national headcount.
What let me ask you, Hanzi, as you have been perhaps the leading reporter in the country covering this question, you are reporting at NPR this week that there's been a review over a judge looking at allegations that the Trump administration concealed the real reason for adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census. A federal judge in New York, you report, is delaying his review of this, and that kicks it back to the Supreme Court. Can you tell us a little bit more about the play up in New York State in court and what we can expect out of this and why this is happening?
Sure. I was at the courthouse in Manhattan and watching this hearing, which was very short. And basically what happened was that, you know, one thing to keep in mind here is the Trump administration has said it wants to ask a citizenship question on the 2020 census in order to collect more detailed citizenship data to better protect the voting rights of racial minorities. It wants to better enforce the Voting Rights Act. A few issues that critics have brought up of the critics of the citizenship question is that the Voting Rights Act is currently being enforced with citizenship data. There already is citizenship data, and voting rights experts say they don't see a data problem, that there is no need for additional citizenship information. The second issue that people have brought up here is that the Census Bureau's research shows that if you wanted to get more detailed citizenship data, the way to do is not to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, because there are existing government records that would be more accurate and less expensive. And so these are issues that the judges, a judge in New York, a judge in Maryland, California have reviewed, and they ultimately concluded that this Voting Rights Act rationale that the Trump administration has brought, they don't believe that that's the real reason. And just recently, these newly discovered hard drives of a Republican strategist, his name was Thomas Hoffler, his hard drives were discovered by his estranged daughter, and ultimately the daughter connected with lawyers involved with one of the citizenship question cases in New York, found files that suggested that the Trump administration made the real reason for wanting a citizenship question is that it could benefit Republicans and, quote, non-Hispanic white people. That's what Hoffler wrote in a memo that outlined a reasoning for adding a citizenship question to the 2020 census or other future census forms. And the judge
And let me quickly, could you explain why the strategist discerned that?
Sure. The strategist was asked to, he was commissioned to write up a study, essentially to look at how the drawing of voting districts could be done in a way that benefits the Republican Party. And so ultimately he came up with this strategy and outlining what could happen if you were to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. And ultimately he made that conclusion that with this level of detailed data about citizenship, local and state redistricting officials, when they draw the new maps after the 2020 census, if they were to have the responses to a citizenship question, could draw voting districts based on not the total number of people, residents in a given community, but just solely based on either the citizens or citizens who are of voting age.
Mm-hmm. The question and that, over yeah, and that, that question and, sits with the Supreme Court. We do expect a decision within the next couple of weeks before the end of this month, Hansi. Lots of phone calls here, folks, about questions about the question, comments about the question as well. 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. We'll begin in Margot, where Deanna has been patient on line 12. Deanna, you've worked with the census as a worker before, correct?
Yes, I was a numerator in the 2010 census. And at my position would go into after if either you did not respond to the mail or they didn't think you received it. So we would go and I would knock on the doors and I would speak to the individual, and it was my job to get them to participate. And one of the things it was. And I had a lot of, I believe, non-citizens. And so as my job, I had to educate, because there's a lot of people who do not really have a concept of what the census does. And what I had to do was educate them. And when I spoke to them that George Washington ordered the first census and that Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem because the Romans ordered a census. Then, you know, but the main thing that I would really, and I realize the citizen question is real important, but the thing that I always emphasized was our roads, our schools.
Yeah. Deanna, let me ask you, you've mentioned you worked in 2010, you plan on working in 2020. Obviously, this question has not been settled yet, but have you gotten any training about how to deal with households in the United States if this question does appear on the census and you are going door to door? Not yet. No training at all yet.
Not yet because it hasn't been settled.
Okay.
And right now something is going on now that will be in the end of September that I was not privy to. But one of the things that I would like everyone to know that I was trained at, that if I could just get the household count mm-hmm. and a signature. Mm-hmm. If they didn't want to fill out everything else, I did not make a big issue of it. If I could get, because the main thing, and I know, then that's why I'm going, okay, if they don't want to fill it out, there were things like there, it asked the one that I had, asked your income. It asked how
there's
much.
There's lots of questions, but the most important one is the headcount. Deanna and Margo, we appreciate it. I hate to cut you off. We've got a lot of folks waiting here, but Hansi Lowong with NPR, let me ask you real quick, what are the options that the Supreme Court has in terms of the decisions it's going to pull from? Is it simply a yay or nay? The question can go forward.
Sure. Well, let me just quickly clarify. The 2020 census will not be asking about people's income, just to be clear.
Okay, so that question won't be on the census. Whether or not the citizen question, that is the question in front of the Supreme Court now.
Exactly. And what the Supreme Court could do is basically the Supreme Court is reviewing essentially one of the rulings. There are three rulings so far from three different judges. And the New York judge's ruling is the one that's officially before the Supreme Court. And the New York judge has ruled to block the question from being added to the 2020 census. So the Supreme Court can agree with the judge in New York and uphold his ruling, or they could strike down that ruling and essentially allow the Trump administration to move forward and add this question. And it's important to keep in mind, the judge in New York, he has said that this question should be blocked because it violates, the process of adding this question violates the Administrative Procedure Act, which essentially sets up how the authority of Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who oversees the Census Bureau and approved adding this question, that Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross essentially violated his discretion and misused that discretion. This is what the judge in New York has ruled by adding this question for a smorgasbord of reasons. We could go on and on about all the different violations that the judge has found. But among them is that if new information is requested by the government through the census, if the government wants to collect this new information, the way to do it is to first see if there are any existing government records to collect that information rather than adding a new census question, because that is a very logistically complicated, and also it could possibly hurt the data collection information. And this is a decision that Commerce Secretary Ross made to not use existing government records, but instead to add this question.
Okay. Thanks for that. It's interesting that the previous caller mentioned ancient Rome. Census does derive the word from the original Latin. This is a very old idea and an old practice. Counting heads. Lots of tweets, meanwhile, coming into the Florida Roundup about the citizenship question that's being proposed for the census next year. Josh tweets the show, anything in the census that would negatively impact its validity shouldn't be included. Undercounting human beings means that policies and public dollars will not be allocated according to reality. Anthony tweets the Florida Roundup, I don't understand how America doesn't know already how many citizens are living here. Can't they use birth certificates, naturalization docs, citizenship documents, death certificates? Adding the question is a redundancy of political proportions. And we have lots of calls on the show. Let's go to Lucia. She's in DeLand. Hey, Lucia. Thanks for calling and holding. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. The citizenship question really does not belong in the census because we have, especially here in Florida, we have so many different kinds of citizens in any given household. For example, I just became a citizen in 1998, and for a long time, we have a mixed household of people who have permanent residencies, we have people with work permits, and we have a citizen. So how do you decide how to answer that question? And the whole point of it is just to count population, period. It's not to count how many people are voting. You already have the voting rolls for that. And then some of us in immigrant communities, we feel under attack by this administration. Just adding that question to the census makes us not want to participate in something like this.
So, Lucia, do you agree with that assessment then, that if the question is added, fewer people will take the census?
Definitely. We question the motives as to why the question has been placed there, and we already feel under prosecution. Whether we are here legally or not, it's just like they want to see different classes of citizens. It's like it's just not citizens and non-citizens. It's just like they want to see, you know, we have different levels. We don't understand the rationale, and they should just be counting people to know what is needed and how many people live in any given state.
Okay, Lucia, thanks for that. Hansi Lo Wang of NPR. You know, it's interesting as we get feedback about this on the program. The census, of course, is intended to count all the heads that are in this country, citizens or not. So it is striking to hear, for example, Senator Scott of Florida say he believes that the census should only count citizens, even knowing that that could result in negative implications for Florida in terms of funding for schools, infrastructure, and the like. You know, as you cover this, as it moves its way through the courts, there are two things happening. There's what's happening in court, in federal court and before the Supreme Court. And then there's the politics of this as well. There are a lot of layers to this story and how it's going to affect Florida, right?
Yes, it's a very complicated story, and I think part of it is part of my reporting has gone back to actually read the language in the Constitution, and it goes back to it's calling for a counting of after the Civil War. We no longer count enslaved people as 3/5 of a person. And so 14th Amendment says counting of the whole persons in each state. And that's the Census Bureau has long counted every person living in the country, regardless of citizenship status and immigration status. However, it's important to point out there is a lawsuit right now that I'm tracking in Alabama, the state of Alabama, as well as Congressman Mo Brooks, a Republican from Alabama, are suing the Census Bureau and other parts of the Trump administration against that longstanding policy of including unauthorized immigrants who are living in the U.S. in the census counts used for determining how many congressional seats and electoral college votes each state gets. That's a lawsuit that a judge, federal judge in Alabama, just recently this week, I reported, is allowing to move forward in court. And the next step is to see if it goes to trial or the judge makes a ruling by skipping the trial.
Hansi, let me remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Cher in Fort Lauderdale in South Florida, you're up next on line 3. Cher, thanks for your patience. Your thoughts here.
Sir, my grandfather was counted. His head was counted in 1940 as a police officer, my grandmother as a homemaker, my mom when she was 8 years old. I don't understand that people that are citizens, and, you know, a lot of them are Hispanic, that it seems like they're complaining, and they should be proud. They're citizens. They worked hard to be citizens, and yet it feels like that they're bucking the system. I live in South Florida. I see it every day. Why is it they're going against the grain so much? As if it's like when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. We're going so far against our own country. It's just that's the divide right there.
So you're okay with the citizenship question on the census?
Yes, sir. I mean, it seems as if people come into our country and then they don't want to embrace our country. And then that's the divide right there. There's nothing wrong with being who you want to be, but then completely trying to change everything about the country you're in, that's the divide right there.
Cher, I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for calling. 305-995-1800 is the phone number. Hansi Luang with NPR. The question is simple enough, right? Is this person a citizen of the United States? But the answer is not yes or no. It's not straightforward. There's actually five different choices.
Exactly. It asks, you can answer yes, born in the United States, yes, born in Puerto Rico or the other territories, born of U.S. Born parents, or yes, naturalized. It asks for a year of naturalization, or no, not a U.S. citizen. This is wording that is from the citizenship question that's currently asked on the Census Bureau's American Community Survey. And so it's asking for this detailed information, and yeah, that is exactly what people are going to be asked to answer if they were included on the 2020 census.
How has this question been asked in the past? We've said that if this goes forward, it would be the first time this question is asked of all U.S. households since 1950. So the question has been asked before. How has that been asked?
It's a very complicated history. If you were to look back at the forms used by census takers back in 1950, it's a form that asks a two-part question. One essentially asking, where is this person born, this person living in a household? And then asking if born outside the U.S., is this person naturalized? Has this person essentially become a U.S. citizen? And so, technically speaking, from my reporting, you know, that did not ask a question directly of every person of U.S. citizenship status. And so ultimately, there have been questions about citizenship in the past, going back all the way to 1820. It's been on and off the census. The wording has changed.
On and off. And let's keep the discussion going with Hansi Luang of NPR and your calls and tweets on a hot topic. The citizenship question on next year's census. We'll be right back.
Hurricanes, lightning, flooding, and tornadoes affect the entire state of Florida, and the team of meteorologists from the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network keep you informed around the clock. All year long, we are committed to providing in-depth weather coverage, both over the radio and on the mobile app Florida Storms. The Florida Public Radio Emergency Network is supported by this station and Citizens Property Insurance, online at citizensfla.com.
The first presidential debates are kicking off right here in South Florida, so we moved our June member drive to accommodate all the coverage surrounding the debates. If you depend on WLRN's vital public service, please let us know with your contribution today at WLRN.org.
The Beach Tone Jazz Festival at the Arsht Center brings together jazz artists Eliana Elias, Yamundo Costa, Sammy Figueroa, and more for what promises to be one phenomenal night. Beach Tone Jazz Festival, Saturday, June 15th at 7 p.m. Tickets at arshtcenter.org.
Each week on the South Florida Roundup, we talk about the biggest stories from Key West to Palm Beach, and we hear from you. So tune in Friday at 1 to the South Florida Roundup, made possible by Willie the Bee Man, bee removal specialist.
Hi, I'm Michael Stock. This Sunday on Folk and Acoustic Music, in the studio with Alana Davis, Jay Thomas, and Eric Jude, the public storytellers at 4 o'clock. Folk and Acoustic Music Sunday, starting at 2.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And we continue right now this Friday taking your calls about the citizenship question that could be placed on the 2020 census. What do you think about this? Let's go to Betty in Jacksonville. Hi, Betty. Happy Friday. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Anyway,
good, thanks.
I work in an area
that I had almost total foreign staff. I had them from Asia. I had them from Croatia. I've had them from Mexico. I've had them from Africa. And most of these people come from very rough governments, and they do not trust government, and they will not fill out any form at all if they ask that citizenship question. I'll almost guarantee it. They
all right, Betty. Yeah. Thanks for that. And that sort of goes along, Hansi Lo Wang, with the feedback we've been getting from other callers and from the researcher we talked to earlier in the hour. Some people here in Florida might not feel comfortable filling out the form. They're fearful to do so. At the same time, you're following the action in Washington. Can you tell us a little bit more about something you tweeted this morning? Representative Cummings of the Oversight Committee in the House says that Attorney General William Barr and Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross have decided they'd rather be held in contempt of Congress than produce documents related to this requested citizenship question. And I'm quoting here, Cummings said they seem determined to continue the Trump administration's cover-up. And so the Democrats in the House are pursuing this matter as they perceive it, and as some published reports have hinted at. They see this push by the White House and the refusal to turn over documents as a cover-up. Can you explain a little bit more about what we can expect next from the House on the citizenship question?
You know, this is really a fight over internal documents that the Trump administration has and says that it cannot release because it is privileged information. These are documents, internal memos that investigators on the House Oversight Committee believe that it might provide some insight into possibly why the Trump administration wants to add this question and how it added the question. But these are documents that the Trump administration says it does not want to release, it cannot release. These are also documents that were in dispute during the lawsuits over the citizenship question. And so what's likely going to happen now is that the chair of the House Oversight Committee, Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland, has said that he is preparing to ask the committee to take a vote on a resolution that would hold U.S. Attorney General William Barr, as well as Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, in contempt of Congress for not complying with subpoenas that this committee has issued.
Hansi, earlier on this program, you heard Greg Stube, representative from the Gulf Coast, a member of that oversight committee, a Republican, say that he would not vote to hold the secretary and the attorney general in contempt. If the committee vote is held, Democrats have a majority. If it's a party line vote, presumably they would successfully get a vote to hold those two individuals in contempt of Congress. What's the result of that, though?
Then we'd still have to go to the full Congress. And so it is still, there's still a ways to go. But this is part of a really long fight over internal documents here that investigators, as well as the plaintiffs in the citizenship question lawsuits, believe might give some insight into exactly why the Trump administration wants to add the citizenship question.
Meantime, the ink is warming up and the printing presses are warming up for the Census Bureau
March, isn't it? They have to go out by March. Isn't that right?
For most households, the mailings will be going out in mid-March around the country. But officially, the 2020 census will start in January in the most rural villages of Alaska.
Oh, interesting. Why does it start there?
Starts in one end of the continent.
Do they start over there for a reason and then sweep east? How does that work?
It is for a reason, and it's part of how the government really tries to count every person living in the country. Rural Alaska is some of the most hardest to reach places in the country, and that is when the ground is still frozen, and so census workers can more easily get around, knock door to door, and communities still where they're living, and they haven't scattered to go hunting and fishing.
Wow.
Here we are where the ground never freezes, rarely freezes, even in North Florida. Meg is going to split the difference with us on line 8. She's in Sarasota there in the Center Gulf Coast. Meg, thanks for calling. Your thoughts. You're on the radio.
Hi, I'm American born and raised, a citizen since day one. I will not be answering that question about citizenship. I don't see that this is going to benefit anybody. It's a loaded question. And I've come to really distrust federal government now.
And the result as it relates to you and your household for the census is what, Meg?
Well, we will count ourselves as residence, I'm not going to answer a citizenship question. We can be part of a headcount. Well, we're not going to answer a loaded question.
Meg, thanks for your thoughts here on the Florida Roundup. Appreciate it.
And you're listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Tom is in Orlando. He's on the line. Hey, Tom. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show. I have an observation. One of your experts said that the census is much harder to conduct, and I was doing some genealogical searching, discovered my great-grandfather and grandfather in a household in several censuses, I want to assume 1900, 1890, or 1910, and my great-grandfather and grandmother lived there. One or both were not citizens. They were English. Mm-hmm. My grandfather, brother, and sister. Sister had her husband from Seattle. They were living in the same household, and they had servants. And so all of this was dutifully recorded and didn't seem to be a problem. Why is it a problem now?
Thanks for those comments, Tom. It's interesting, Hansi Lo Wang, to get the anecdotes from all of our listeners out there, and it gives you a sense of how complex this is. You know, at the same time, let me ask you, one of the callers now just said she will not fill out the citizenship portion of the census if it is added to the census because she sees it as a loaded question. As I'm looking at some of your tweets covering this issue, I see people that have been interacting with you on social media are using the hashtag boycott the question, or in effect saying just don't answer that question even if you are a U.S. citizen because people don't feel it's appropriate to be added. To be clear, as you pointed out earlier in the hour, if you don't answer the question, if it is included in the census, technically, you could be fined, although such fines have been rarely enforced over the years by census workers, enumerators, or whatever the terminology we want to use. But what do you think about this? There's a social media campaign of sorts to encourage people to boycott such a question.
Right. I've seen this hashtag.